The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
Hey, welcome in. A lot of football activity already today. Some of you have been watching Pro Day from Tuscaloosa. We'll head down there in a few minutes and get a report on how everyone thinks Bryce Young did. Was it enough, or did it really even matter for him to be the number one pick? We begin with a lot of other things going on. The Sweet 16 we'll talk about in a minute. But how about this from the New York Times, an article, op-ed by the president at Notre Dame, Father Jenkins, and the AD, Jack Swarbrick, under the heading, College Sports Are Treasure, Don't Turn Them Into the Minor Leagues. Interesting. We'll get into that a little bit later on. We mentioned the Sweet 16 in basketball begins in a couple of hours. What about the Sweet 16 in football? We already have the new playoff about to begin. Ari Wasserman will also join us later on, and we'll talk to him about that as well. Tennessee plays in a couple of hours in a huge game, and quite an article here in the Washington Post, living it up on Rocky Top. Rick Barnes still has time for an underdog. John Feinstein, one of the most noted writers of the last 40 years, one of the best-selling authors of all time, the author of that piece. And John, of course, has a book coming out in May on David Faraday, the controversial golf analyst. John, great to see you again. It's been too long, so it's always fun to catch up with you, especially this time of the year when we're about to get into the extreme madness of the 68-team field. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. It's always a pleasure and an honor to talk to you. And you and I both hate to talk about how far back we go, but it's great to see you again.
Well, when I first met you, you were not a best-selling author yet. You were still a couple years away from A Season on the Brink, which shattered pretty much every sports book record that's ever occurred. And I feel honored to have known you all these years.
Well, now that we've decided we're honored, what do you want to talk about?
I'm reading your column today, which I always do, and I'm like going, I was really, I guess being a dog lover, I was really taken in, not so much about Rick Barnes, the coach, but Rick Barnes, a humanitarian. I'm going to let you tell the story because he has this huge win the other day against Duke, of all schools, and pick it up from there.
Well, Rick and I go way, way back, just like you and I do. I was actually in his locker room the first game he ever coached at George Mason in 1987 because I was working on my second book, A Season Inside, and I had known Rick when he was an assistant at George Mason, and he had just become the head coach. So that's how far back we go. And I called him on Sunday afternoon to congratulate him on beating Duke, and because I think it's remarkable the way he was able to pull his team together with all the injuries and losing his point guard and turn around and beat a team that was red hot coming into that game. And Rick answered the phone and he said, "John, can I call you back in a few minutes? Candy and I, his wife of 47 years, just found a stray dog, and we've got to get him to a vet because he's in terrible shape." And I said, "Of course. You could call me back." And I don't know, an hour or so later, he called back. They'd gone to three different animal shelters before they found a vet who could treat the dog. The dog was in tough shape. Rick didn't think it was going to survive. But sure enough, the dog had a chip inside him. The vet found the owner. The vet was able to help him. And Rick got a note from the owner the next day: "Thank you so much for saving my dog's life." And Rick said that was the highlight of his weekend. So when I wrote the column, I led with that story, and my editor, like you, a dog lover — I'm more of a cat guy, but I like dogs too — but he said, "This is going to have so many readers, not because Tennessee beat Duke, but because of the human side Rick Barnes showed by rescuing that dog." And apparently that was the case.
It was incredible. And I think Rick Barnes, very successful coach, as you know better than anyone, but you also point out he's been to the Final Four, he's been to the Elite Eight, he's had a lot of really big success stories, but he hasn't had much success lately in March, and there he goes, he wins this huge game, and he's consumed by a stray dog, which I was really struck by.
Well, you know, that's who Rick is. And as I said, I've known him a long time. And he's one of those guys who will call you as a friend, not as a reporter, just check in. How are you doing? He he's always sending gear to my son Danny, who's grown now. And Danny's favorite coach is Rick Barnes, because Rick has been so good to him through the years. I think he's very underrated as a coach. He's won 779 games. And will become next year the 16th coach in Division I history to get to 800 wins. And as you point out, people say, well, he hasn't had much success in March in recent years. First at Texas, his last few years, and at Tennessee, where he's been to two Sweet 16s, and this is his second one. But, you know, I look at guys like Luke Carnesecca, who's in the Hall of Fame, deservedly so. 526 wins, one Final Four. Rick Barnes has been to a Final Four at Texas. You look at John Chaney and Lefty Driesell, both deservedly in the Hall of Fame. Neither ever went to a Final Four. Rick will surpass Lefty next year, 786 wins. And yet, nobody ever talks about Rick as a Hall of Famer. And it was interesting, some of the comments on the column, many were like yours. Wow, what a good guy, in addition to his coaching success. And some were, well, he never won anything when he had Kevin Durant at the University of Texas. He had Durant for 1 year. 1 year. And they got beaten by a very experienced USC team, much the way his experienced Tennessee team beat Duke on Saturday. And I've watched Rick up close for a long time. And you got to trust me, Paul, he's a hell of a coach and a better guy.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I've gotten to know him over the years, and he's quite remarkable. Let me ask you about Tennessee's path. They've beaten one of the toughest teams they'll face tonight. Most of the so-called experts aren't giving them too much difficulty, but you understand the other side better than we do. Tell us what you think about tonight's matchup.
Well, the thing is, when you get to this point in the tournament, everybody's playing well, or they wouldn't be playing. And Florida Atlantic has had a remarkable year. They won 32 games. They were an 8 seed, which is unheard of for a team from a non-power league to be seeded that high. Obviously, the committee finally paid some attention to basketball in seeding. They caught a break, obviously, when Fairleigh Dickinson pulled that extraordinary upset over Purdue. But you play who shows up. And I think, especially coming off the kind of win Tennessee had, it's going to be a difficult night. Anybody who thinks Tennessee's going to cakewalk through Florida Atlantic, they're much smarter than me, because I don't. I think it's going to be a heck of a contest. And if Tennessee gets to the final, whether they would play Kansas State or Michigan State, that'll be a tough game too. Let me add one thing, Paul. I hope that if Rick does get to the Final Four, that people will start to look again at his resume and will say, my goodness, this guy's been to two Final Fours at two different schools. Maybe we should start thinking about him in terms of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and the path after he left Texas is pretty well known to everyone. They're on, the third head coach, even though one's an interim. Oh, John, let me ask you about what has been the biggest basketball story on this program and pretty much everywhere else in the last 6 weeks, and that's the Brandon Miller situation at Alabama. First of all, your thoughts on that. And then we'll take it a step further in terms of Alabama's path ahead.
Well, my thoughts are these. I've known Nate Oates since he was at Buffalo. I'm a big fan of his. I think his story, coming from being a high school coach and 8 years later being the coach at Alabama and coaching a team that is the number one seed in the tournament, tells you all you need to know about Nate Oates as a coach. And he's been through hell with his wife having a serious bout with cancer during his first season as the head coach at Buffalo. I like him personally. I'm an admirer. That said, the notion that Alabama as a university is putting forth that, oh, well, we can't suspend him because he hasn't been charged with a crime. Paul, you know as well as I do, you can suspend a guy for missing curfew. You can suspend a guy for being late for a team meal. Or for dogging it in practice. He doesn't have to be charged with a crime to be suspended. And I think Alabama and Nate Oates would have been much better served had they had just said something like, okay, Brandon Miller's not going to play till the end of the regular season. We're going to try to find out more while the police investigation is going on. We know he didn't fire the gun, but we also know that he was involved in a death. And then maybe at that point say, okay, we're going to bring him back for the NCAA tournament. He hasn't committed a crime, hasn't been charged with a crime. And I think it would have gone better for Alabama in terms of public perception had they done that. But to take the idea, well, he hasn't been charged with a crime, so we can't suspend him, Rode, certainly didn't work for me, and I don't think it worked for a lot of other people.
John, you've been at the vanguard of the national media for a long time. It's popped up naturally. There's been a lot of criticism. Playing in the first round, second round, Sweet 16, Elite Eight. Take us to the Final Four, and assuming Alabama gets there, and they're heavily favored to get there, what is it going to be like, or will it be any different than we've already seen over these past few weeks?
Well, I would think that it was better for Alabama last weekend, and it will be better going forward on neutral courts where you have fans from different teams as opposed to being on the road. Brandon Miller has certainly, in terms of basketball, handled himself remarkably well in the aftermath of this tragedy. And I think what we know now is that going forward, it's unlikely that Alabama is going to be affected on the court by all that's gone on. I didn't see any of their games on TV last weekend because I was at the regionals in Albany and obviously traveling in between. So I don't know how the TV people have handled it. They probably, knowing television, said, well, Brandon's had some off-court issues, which is a little bit like saying that I'm not in the same shape I was in 40 years ago. But it's not going away. And if Alabama were to go all the way to the national title, that what happened with Brandon Miller would certainly be a part of the story as we go forward in history.
John Feinstein, always great to catch up. Good luck with the book on Faraday, and we always enjoy these rare moments with you, John. Be well.
Paul, thanks for having me. And the one thing I will say is that David's not nearly as controversial as I am. He's one of the most beloved figures I've ever worked with in my career, and I really enjoyed the book. So thanks for bringing it up.
Can't wait to read it. John Feinstein joining us, legendary author and, of course, a columnist with the Washington Post. As we begin here, we're not done yet. We'll go to Tuscaloosa with Jordan in a few minutes on the day that has been pro day for a number of top players. Dan Wetzel a little bit later on, Ari Wasserman, and your phone calls right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And welcome back. Always eager to take some phone calls. And Jim starts it out for us. Good afternoon, Jim.
Good afternoon, Paul. I had a nice long chat just early this morning with I-Man on private Twitter, DM messages, and we had a good time talking. And both of us agreed one thing. This is a fun show, and it's supposed to be a fun show, and I hope it always – I want it to be a fun show for me. It's always been fun. Not always, but, I mean, that's what I wanted it to be. And it's also been serious. It's a serious and a fun show. I want to give an opinion. As you've said many times, this is an opinion show. You give your opinion. Everybody's got an opinion. You got a right to your opinion, I guess, from at least on this show you do. Some other shows you don't. That's what I like about your show, and I admire you for what you've done, letting people give their opinions. I want to comment. I don't care for Feinstein. I never have cared for him. I know he's a great whatever he is, a reporter or whatever, writer, et cetera, but I've never really been fond of him, and I disagree with him thoroughly on what he said a while ago, Paul. I think that I know the attorney of Brandon Miller. I know him very, very well. We've been friends. I hadn't seen him in a while, but I've been to his house, played pool with him, had a lot of fun with him, rode the roads with him, and he's a really good guy, in my opinion. And he's like me. He can be a character, whatever, but I know Jim Stoddard well. what he told me about the situation with the case, I firmly believe, Paul, from what I've heard of the whole case, that Miller was a victim of circumstances. And if you're a victim of circumstances, and I mean totally a victim of circumstances, and you're in the wrong, well, I'm not going to say in the wrong place at the wrong time, but you run. I've been in that situation some too, where you got ball players you played with, and they get in predicaments, and you don't know what to do, and you're not anything to do with it, but you're their friends, and you're a victim of circumstances. That can happen. I believe that happened in this case, and I believe it would have been horrible, horrible, Mr. Feinstein, to have penalized Brandon Miller for not letting him play if he had no guilt associated with that horrible tragedy of that woman. That's my opinion, Paul. That's all I can say.
Yeah, the more I hear about it, and I'm not as close to it as you are because I don't know the attorney, I agree with you. And I think what you heard there from Feinstein is a programmed response from...
Thank you. Boy, that's great.
A large number of the media who made up their mind on day one and don't want to hear anything else.
Outstanding what you just said. I mean, good night. That's where you are good, Paul. Man, you nailed that. That's it, man. I'm getting chills. How much you that's where you're good, and you just nailed that. So thank you for saying that, and I totally agree with you on that.
Well, Jim, I think you... A lot of people overreacted on day one, and that's fine because the news is being disseminated in a particular way. But for somebody on March 23rd to say what Feinstein said is pretty short-sighted. And again, I saw a lot of. I mean, I saw a column in USA Today yesterday. A woman excoriating Nate Oates and praising Nick Saban, even though I think we now know these two things were indirectly related. It's only going to get worse next weekend in Houston. You're going to see people come out of the woodwork that you have not seen or heard from before, and they're all going to say the same thing.
And that's what they do about Donald Trump. I know you're not going to comment about that, but that's exactly what, in my opinion, they've been doing about Donald Trump. Criticizing him, don't know what the hell they're talking about, and yet they hate him. And that's the bottom line of most of this stuff. It's hatred, and it's not about anything but hatred. That's my opinion, especially of Alabama. I've always been an Alabama fan, you know that, and there's people that hate Alabama, and they'll use anything to try to take down Alabama. Don't you agree with that?
Well, I mean, I think in Feinstein's case, you know, he tried to couch it by telling us how well he knew Nate Oates. I don't care if you've never met Nate Oates. Nate Oates is the issue is how the university's handled Brandon Miller. I mean, he's essentially saying they should have suspended him whether they knew anything or not, just to let everybody know that they're on top of it. And I have no doubt Alabama considered it. I think it will come out at some point that they probably maybe even lean toward it, and then they didn't do it. And quite frankly, it really doesn't matter anymore. Jim, thanks so much for the call. Philip is up next in Memphis. Hey, Philip.
Hey, Paul. I want to echo one thing that Jim said. I totally applaud and agree with your comments about Mr. Feinstein. I was a big fan of his book about the Army rivalry. I recommend that to everybody. Ball on this.
Yeah, Philip. For some reason, your phone is. We're getting about every third word, so it would be difficult to. Let's try to get you back on the phone in a minute. Let's take a short break here. More of your phone calls. We'll head to Tuscaloosa as well and find out how Pro Day went for a couple of the top players in the country with Jordan Rogers.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. Busy afternoon already, and some of you have been watching this afternoon from Tuscaloosa, where Pro Day occurred. Some of the top players in the country, including Bryce Young, and covering it for all of us has been Jordan Rogers live on the scene. Jordan, thank you very much. I want to talk to you about your interview with Saban in a minute, but first of all, what did you think in watching Bryce Young today?
Oh, look, Bryce Young's workout was boring. I said it earlier, I think in the best way, though. That's a testament to just how polished he is. I mean, he was extremely accurate, threw off platform, extremely well moved, showed accuracy to the perimeter on the deep ball. Now, was it a wow workout? No. And I think hearing and talking to Todd McShay and Lewis Riddick about C.J. Stroud's workout, Stroud may have more of a wow workout with some of the velocity in the deep throws, but I don't think it's really Bryce's fault. I was out on the left sideline. If you watched the pro day, if you didn't, here's what happened. A couple of the deep throws actually hit the roof, hit the net. So the deep ones he wanted to throw to the left really didn't have the chance to show the accuracy and the velocity. I will say, coming out of his hand, plenty of velocity. And I would have thought those would have been right on the money. A couple of the other deep throws he had were on the money, so he showed what he needed to as far as arm strength. The tape tells you there's not a throw he can't make in the NFL. So this is just semantics out here on the field. But yeah, was it a wow workout? No, because we didn't really get to the payoff of a couple of those deep throws, but I will say he did everything he needed to show the Carolina Panthers or the Houston Texans that he should be, really, I think he should be the number one overall draft pick, but deserves to be an NFL starter, can make every throw in the NFL, and is a high-character guy that you want in your locker room.
Jordan, I realize your job was to cover it, but just from, you know, set the scene for us, because I saw David Tepper, I saw other head coaches. What was it like, and who did you see, and other than Nick Saban, which I want to talk to you about in a minute?
Yeah, interesting, right? 125 credentialed NFL personnel here. Obviously, the Panthers brought everybody except for the janitors, the owners, the GMs, the head coach, the quarterback coach, offensive coordinator, vice president. Everybody was here, and they went to dinner last night with Bryce Young. So interesting to see them and kind of watch them react to some of the throws. And in a way, there wasn't a ton of reaction to some of the throws, which tells me they knew who Bryce was. Nothing wowed them. Nothing disappointed them. Some of the other coaches, Pete Carroll was here. They sit at five. Obviously, Will Anderson on the board, a quarterback. They did sign Geno Smith to a deal that could be on paper a little bit more of a one-year deal. So are they looking for a quarterback if one falls to them? Who knows? So there was a good mix of GM, scouts, head coaches, but I think the Panthers definitely brought the most, and they got all the attention right now sitting there with one trying to figure out what they're going to do, and they'll be in Lexington, as I will be tomorrow, to watch Will Levis as well.
So you mentioned Will Anderson. I can't imagine anything they needed to see from him. How did that one go?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Turn on the tape and watch Will Anderson. He's been the best player in college football the last 2 years, I think. And if he was an offensive player, he wouldn't have won the Heisman at some point. So he doesn't need to do anything. He didn't need to come out here and run through drills and risk an injury. We've seen that before with first-round guys, you know, popping Achilles or turn their ankle or do something before the draft when they maybe didn't need to be on the field. So Will Anderson will get no negative points for not doing anything on the field. He has shown everything he needs to on tape. But I think it's impressive and the part you don't get to see as a fan is these coaches really want to stand next to these guys. They want to see him. They want to shake their hands. And when you stand next to Will Anderson, as I have many a times over his career, you're impressed by how big he is, how long he is. So you couple that with the film, you couple that with running a 4.6 at the combine, the speed, explosiveness, how long he is, what a good guy he is when you have a conversation with him, high character guy that you want in the locker room. So he did everything he needed to today, and that's just shake some hands, kiss some babies, and wait for your name to be called.
Help us better understand, especially for the top players, the purpose of these events, because we have the combine. I know some of these guys will be going to individual camps. So what are these things all about?
It's about relativity, all right? So for these scouts, they may watch a player on Alabama. They may watch a player on Grambling State or a no-name school, and it's tough to have relativity to the competition. It's tough to, well, is this guy fast against this defense because they're not very fast, or does this guy actually have speed? So for these coaches, it's important to get a feel for the size of these players, the actual speed, the explosiveness in real time, because they see it on tape, but there's a lot of moving parts on tape. There's different field conditions, different weather, different defenders, the quality of defenders or offensive players that they're going against may change. So for them to get some relativity, so go see CJ Stroud throw in person. Watch the ball come out of his hands. Then go watch Bryce Young. Watch the ball come out of his hands. Take a step back, then go, did we learn anything? Did that tell us anything different than we have seen on film? Did that change our minds at all? Then go see Will Levis and Anthony Richardson if you're the Carolina Panthers. Relativity is important for these coaches to see these guys next to each other, see them throw back to back to back to really get an understanding of, does it match what we see in the tape?
Jordan, you talked to Nick Saban. I thought his response about the size question was interesting. Take us through your conversation.
Which question did you say?
About Bryce Young's size.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right, that's what the media wants to make this about, right? He's 5'10 and a little bit of change. Does that matter? Well, Nick Saban's one of the greatest coaches in all of college football at any level. Never mattered to him. Didn't matter to them winning games. Didn't matter to Bryce Young being able to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So I think he's a great resource to go, did you have to change anything in your offense? Did it matter that he was 5'10 when you were recruiting him? You knew it then, right? It may have been shorter. He might have grown a half an inch or so. So getting the insight from a guy that spent years in the building with him, I think, is important for these coaches. His phone will be ringing off the hook as we get closer and closer to draft about Bryce, about a number of these other guys, and the insight that he can give to who they are as players on and off the field. But to me, height is not an issue. It is not a prerequisite to the quarterback position to be a certain height, especially with how the NFL offense is changing. Yards per attempt are down every single year. It's a quick passing game-oriented NFL now. Bryce Young plays point guard better than anybody in college football. He'll do it at the next level too.
Jordan, before you go, you mentioned a minute ago about the decision, but that's really going to be the raging debate between now and the end of April. So how do you think Carolina, Houston, especially it's really about Carolina right now, what's going to be the final determination between any of these quarterbacks?
Yeah, honestly, I think it's between the two, right? I think there is a large gap between Will Levis and Anthony Richardson and Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. I mean, CJ has unbelievable tape. You throw on the tape against Georgia, there may not be a better game for a quarterback that you'll watch all year. His measurables, he's bigger than Bryce. He has a little bit stronger arm. So I think it's really going to come down to the comfort level of Frank Reich, Josh McCown, the guys are going to be dealing with him on a daily basis of having a guy that's shorter, because you do have to change a few things, but it's not a barrier to entry for the quarterback position. So are they comfortable having a shorter quarterback, designing the offense around him as such? Frank Reich is a guy, I said it earlier, that in his 17-year coaching career has never had a quarterback under 6'2". So that's going to be a mental barrier if nothing else. So that will really be what it comes down to, I think, which is unfortunate, because if you go off the tape, Bryce Young's the best player in the league. Best player in college football, should be the number one overall draft pick. If he's not, it's because there was a hesitation of his size, which I think is short-sighted.
Indeed. Jordan, thank you. Jordan Rogers joining us live from Tuscaloosa. And when we saw some of the conversation earlier, you had Reich standing next to Bryce Young, and there was a difference in the two's height. And, of course, Reich was a pretty good quarterback himself. We'll take a short break. We are back with much, much more, your phone calls included, right after this. Kentucky Pro Day tomorrow, 11:30. Will Levis, can he move up on the draft board? A lot of people think he's pretty high right now.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Busy start with John Feinstein and Jordan Rogers, Dan Wetzel a little bit later on. Let's get some phone calls in here right now. And Jerry is in Mississippi. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, Paul. I really like your show. I watch you about every day.
Thank you.
A full 4 hours, but a lot.
Thank you.
Jim, a while ago, was saying something about everybody has an opinion. First, I want to ask your opinion about one item, and then I'll tell you my opinion about another one. Mississippi State football, have you heard anything behind the scenes about the coaching staff or what they think they might have or anything like that?
Well, the only thing I know is we had Coach Arnett on a couple weeks ago, and he seemed very upbeat. Now, we all know what's been going on there and the transition, but I think he's done a phenomenal job of making a few changes, but keeping that staff firm and most important, keeping the players on board. And that was his biggest challenge after Coach Leach.
Yeah, I saw where he kept all of his defensive players. You still there?
Yes, sir.
All right, and they were talking about the Miller. Wasn't that his name, the basketball player from Alabama?
Brandon Miller.
He is a great Brandon Miller?
Yes, sir.
He's a great basketball player, but I'm 82 years old, and I've lived a long time. And my opinion is, if he'd have been a bench warmer, he'd have been off the team and probably would have been arrested by the local police. Now, that's just my opinion, but I've seen a lot of stuff like that happen. If you've got enough money or you're important enough, then you survive.
Well, I don't think, Jerry, he would have been arrested, but would he have been suspended or kicked off? I mean, it's entirely possible. I've watched sports for a number of years like you have, and there's always been a system, and it, by the way, that's part of life, and most of us know what it's like not to be in the express lane, the ones, you know, with all the money and power. I agree with that part of your hey, thank you for the call, appreciate it very, very much. Let's check out Wayne next in Alabama. Hello, Wayne, you there? Wayne is not there. How about Steve in Kentucky? Steve, thanks for the call.
Hey, Paul. It's always great talking to you.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to talk to you about two of my favorite people today. One is Mr. Jay Ballas. Didn't he play ball at Duke?
Yeah, he played on a team in the mid-'80s that went to the national championship game. He was a very good player.
Yes, he was that. But all he wants to do is beat on Tennessee and infer that we're a little dirty out here. Now, Paul, we got a big old 7-foot center that can't walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. He has no coordination, and he trips and he falls over people. But he gets a foul called on him if he blows on anybody. And Bayless has been on him forever. Plus, he coined the phrase, the big fellow. I wish he'd put that away. And one other thing. I wish he'd remember Christian Laettner. He created more blood than my big centers ever saw. What do you think of that?
I agree. Hey, thank you for the call. Dustin is up next. Hello, Dustin.
Hey, Paul. How are you today, brother?
Very well.
Hey, listen, I was a little disappointed yesterday. Cheerleader called in, and she remembered Larry, but I just got referred to as that other guy. She didn't know me. And you didn't help me out any, man.
Dustin, you're coming off the bench. You know your place.
I hear you, man, and I hear you. Hang on just a second. What? All right, but hurry. Hey, Paul, there's somebody here who wants to talk to you.
Okay.
Oh, hey, Fireball.
Larry.
This is Larry from Shelby. Listen, first of all, cheerleader don't want Dustin. She wants me. And I got to tell you, this is a beat up on old Todd, that cowboy. You know, he's busy eating the horse turds and everything. I wanted to throw the weight of my number one seed behind old Dustin here. He's like the son.
Hey, Larry, can you put Dustin back on the phone?
Well,
Larry, put Dustin back on the phone. I'm doing this for his own good.
Hey, Paul. Sorry about that.
Dustin, I want to give you a warning here, an admonishment. If for some reason we find out later that you're using anything untoward or illegal or unethical, you'll get a permanent ban. So I just want to make sure just before you put Larry back on there, I wanted to make sure you thought about that, because the jury here is ruling that where is Dustin right now in the field? Is he in the field? I mean, right now you have not won your play-in game yet, so.
I don't even know how that's supposed to work, but Paul, I wanted to tell you, I'm sorry for that.
Okay.
I had Larry up. He wanted to watch the show together. I had no idea he'd come.
Okay, we are just for you, for the record, we are fining you for this.
Fair enough. I'll absorb that. He did want.
When
me
are
to
we going to determine the play-in game? By the way, guys. Okay, so let me assure you, as much as it pains me to say this, you have not helped yourself in that play-in game where all of us are rooting against AJ.
Well, we are. You're right, that's what Larry wanted to say, is that he feels like I've got a better chance against I-Man.
Okay, we will leave it there, and let's bring in this guy's not a bench warmer. He's a regular on the show. AC.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you,
Mr. Feinbaum. It doesn't matter if I get disqualified because I'm not in the contest. I am not in the contest because I don't try too hard. Because I don't want to try too hard, man. Because I like having fun. I love you so much, dude. I feel like kissing your forehead right now because I love you even more. But I have a question for you, Mr. Feinbaum. Tennessee Volunteers, the football team, what if they defeat Alabama again and makes it to the playoffs and Alabama fails to make the playoffs? Do you think the dynasty is officially coming to an end?
That would be a significant blow to the dynasty right there.
Oh, you know what? It did take a blow, but it's going to be nailed to the final coffin. And this is what Volunteers need to do. Remember, the Tigers, Tennessee Volunteers, so they should volunteer themselves to smack down Nick Saban and the entire dynasty. But let me tell you which dynasty is not coming to an end: AC and Mr. Feinbaum. That dynasty will never come to an end. You want to know why? Because AC said so. Holla.
Logan is up next in North Carolina.
Hey, Paul, good afternoon. I just wanted to give you a call. I've known you for a while. I don't know you, but we've been talking for a while. And I just thought about something today. I need to ask you this question. What is your favorite Beatles song? I don't know you as a John guy or a Paul guy, so I was trying to figure out what.
Always been a Paul guy. I'm not talking about the Beatles song that probably struck me the most was Yesterday.
Okay, so you're that classic.
Which
Paul
is an entirely
by the way,
for those who don't know much about the Beatles, McCartney did that with the help of no one else in the group, so that was all him.
Yep, he wrote that song. I think he dreamed it, and he woke up.
Yeah, but I think when they recorded it, I don't think anybody else was involved. Now, listen, I I don't know whether it was the fact that I had the same name. I really don't know, but but certainly, probably other than that, that's just a personal. I probably think A Day in the Life is the best Beatles song.
There you go, Paul. I was going to say Day in the Life is my favorite song, so we're on the same page with that. And I was going to say, Paul, last year or a couple of years ago, you had some really cool music interviews, and I did appreciate that country singer. I'm not a big country music fan. I mean, I like old country music, but that guy was pretty cool. I'd never heard of him before.
As you can tell, I love to interview artists, creative artists, especially about the process. And you know, we've had a number of them. Mainly they've been country. We had Kenny Chesney on not that long ago. Darius Rucker's been here. many times. I'm trying to think who else is. Dan and Shay were here one day a couple of years ago. Primarily country, now that I think about it.
Well, I can tell you, outside of Howard Stern, Paul, you're probably one of the best interviews I've seen for musicians. I mean, you really get down and you talk their language.
Yeah, I must say I was envious of Howard a couple of months ago when he spent a couple of hours with Bruce Springsteen. That would have been particularly cool.
Well, I still want you to get Neil Young on. I don't know what the angle will be.
I'm sure you can tell by now. He was when I was in high school and college. I spent a lot of time listening to Neil Young songs.
Yeah, we got to get him on somehow, Paul. We'll try to figure out.
I don't think it would be impossible.
He puts
out a record about every year, so I'm sure we could.
One or two a year. That's true. Well, the only thing I wanted to talk about, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but last night, Paul, have you ever heard of News Nation before, the network?
Sure.
Okay, so they're supposed to be like in between. They're not an extreme liberal. They're not an extreme right wing. And I was watching a show, and I don't even want to name the guy because after the Clay Travis thing, I don't want to bring any more popularity to these people, but they had a...
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.